Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready whether it is convenient or not. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with all patience and teaching. For there will come a time when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, because they have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in line with their own desires. They will also turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. As for you, keep a clear head in every situation, bear hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You see, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to everyone who loved his appearing. This is our text. Dear people of God, the Apostle Paul knew exactly what kind of world we would live in, because he lived in the same one. King Solomon wrote 1,000 years before Paul that there is nothing new under the sun. The same temptations that they had back then are still in the world today, although today they might come in a new shiny package. The temptation to waste time still exists in the world, except now it comes in a black rectangle entitled TikTok. The temptation to break the sixth commandment is still in the world today, although now it may come in a more bold, colorful flavor. The temptation to despise God's word is still in the world today, as Paul predicted, but that wasn't a very bold prediction, because he saw it all the time. The people around Paul, because people have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in line with their own desires. They will also turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. That's the world we still live in. And in a certain way, it is a blessing. For by looking around and listening to people, we realize we're still in the sinful world. We're not in heaven yet. We're not in glory. We have not missed our dear Savior's return. We are still patiently waiting and praying for it. Professor Deutschlander used to say, don't get too depressed if people aren't knocking down the doors of your church to hear you preach. Just be amazed that any come at all. And I think about that all the time. In this world of so much to do, why are you so faithful? Why do you make an effort to drive here for worship? You must truly be God's chosen and safeguarded people, for he has given you this desire to take time out of your life to sit and to listen and to ponder God's wonderful word along with your fellow believers. The apostle urges, really the word is he begs us to cling to the word of God today, to use it regularly, to inwardly digest it, and then to proclaim it to this wicked world. Paul knew what kind of world we would live in, who would be up against us, because they were against him too. And yet he urges us to hold on to the truth of the word of God until the end and be God's people. When I read this text, it drives me to my knees. This is a whole list of things that I have to do and that I have to do better. Preach the word. The nervousness and the terror of daring to stand in front of God's holy people and say, this is what God says to you, never goes away. It's a great responsibility and a great weight on my shoulders. Be ready. Paul reminds me that I have to be ready to answer whatever question anybody gives me at any time. And that answer better be in line with God's entire word. Correct. I have the terrible job of telling you when you are wrong with the word of God. And I'm supposed to do it in such a way that my personality doesn't chase anyone away. But if anyone is chased away from the word, it's only because that they don't care about what God has to say. Rebuke. It's a terrible responsibility to have to tell you or even other pastors that they are wrong according to the word of God. Encourage. Well, that's the fun one. But it entails knowing who needs encouragement and who needs rebuking. Keep a clear head. Yeah, I don't get to have a bad day and fly off the handle and say a bunch of stuff I don't mean. When I speak, I have to speak very carefully and thoughtfully about what God wants me to say. Bear hardship. This one I like to call taking arrows. When people say nasty things to or about me, I just have to take it. I don't get to fight back like the Lord Jesus took his abuse. Do the work of an evangelist, even if that's not my strength. My job is to tell everyone I see about this great Savior that we have and what he has done for each of them too. Fulfill your ministry. In other words, do everything that the Lord's people need you to do. And by serving them, I am serving God. Peace and cake. Thanks, Paul, for the list. I appreciate it. But Paul's the wrong person to complain to. Because the Apostle Paul did all this stuff better than any of us worldly ministers could ever do. And yet Paul still called himself the chief of sinners. All Paul saw were his faults and his failures. The only joy in the boasting that Paul had was in Jesus Christ and how he died for him to save him from his own sins. The rest of his life was all and only for thanking the Lord Jesus with every minute and every ounce of energy. Paul wrote these words from prison. He was about to die, can you tell by his words? He knew what was coming, and that is the axe of the executioner. He knew that he had exhausted every legal trick in turn, and he was about to pay with his life for daring to proclaim Jesus Christ as the only Son of God and the only hope of salvation. He was at the end. He was being poured out like a drink offering. That's an Old Testament picture that people still use today, pouring one out for the dead. Like spilled wine on the ground that can't possibly be put back into the bottle. So Paul's life had come to an end and nobody could stop it now. He fought the good fight. Notice, wasn't still fighting. He fought. The battle's over. There's no more fighting for Paul to do. He was at his end. He finished the race. It's over. It's finished. No more running with the gospel for Paul. He kept the faith. He did it. That's the goal of every Christian at their confirmation. We make a vow that we will remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and make regular use of his word and sacraments. A vow that most turn their back on, and they will receive what is due to them. But Paul kept the faith. He made it to the end. Just like you are doing. So hang on. Don't get lazy. Don't give up now. We can see the end. Scripture talks about degrees of hell, but it's not like Dante's downward spiral. Rather, degrees of hell talk about that the person who has it the worst in hell is the person who had the truth in life. For they have to spend the rest of eternity saying, I could have been up there. I had it. I had the Word of God, but I gave it away for my boat, for my kids' baseball game, for looking at mountains, for my bed, of all things. I chose that garbage instead of the saving Word of God that was handed to me. That's the same suffering that the devil has. For he was once in heaven, and he has to spend the rest of eternity cursing himself for giving it up. But not you. You hold on to the truth. You hold on to the Word. Hold on to the church, as Paul says. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to everyone who loved his appearing. Love the Lord. Love his word. Love his appearing. Wake up every day and say, this could be the day that my Savior might come and take me home. That's the Christian way to live. We don't live in guilt. We don't live counting sins. We live in this joy and anticipation of that day. And with that thought is how we endure this wicked world. It doesn't matter what they say and what they do. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus' blood and righteousness. And if you want to come with me, that's fine. Let me tell you what this wonderful Savior has done for you. That's how the church endures. That's how the church grows. By you and me living our faith and showing it to the world. Showing the world the Savior that we love so much. See, the church is fine. And when I say church, I mean capital C church. The Holy Christian Church. All true believers in heaven and on earth. Those God has chosen, those God has saved, those he certainly will take home. The church is fine. This church, this local congregation, I don't know. If the people here don't love the word of God, don't want to hear it, don't want to hear it proclaimed to them, well, you know very well that in our synod we have a great shortage of pastors and teachers. And we can send our ministers elsewhere to people who will love the word they have to say and work with it. See, Luther saw the same thing happening in his day in Germany. And he told us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is very much like a gentle rain shower watering the earth. It pauses over a people for a time, and they enjoy it. But then when they have gotten tired of it and no longer cherish it, it slowly moves on to another people. See, the Israelites had the word of God in spades, but they totally lost it. It went on to Turkey, where Paul planted these churches, and then on to Greece, places where the word is almost non-existent now. It went on to Rome, and there they did everything they could to destroy it. Later, it was rediscovered in Germany in Luther's time. And he was so amazed how people still refused to come to church in his day and hear it proclaimed. And that word has left Germany. So much so now that we have sent missionaries to Germany to bring the pure word back to them. So the word of God came here to America. And it is now so despised and ignored that it might be time for it to move on. Well, to where? To Africa, maybe? Our missionaries tell us wonderful stories that give us hope for the church there. But more recently and more surprisingly have been our successful efforts in India and Vietnam, of all places. Can you imagine if in 100 years the Vietnamese send missionaries here to Wisconsin to try to reignite the gospel that at one time reached out to them with that saving word? Looking around, I don't think that's so crazy. So what should we do? Do we give up? Do we just close the doors and say, well, that was a good try? Or do we all move to Africa or India? Our forefathers did. They left Germany and Scandinavia when their church was under attack there. And they came here. Or maybe we should just take Paul's words and encouragements to heart. Follow his example and sacrifice all. Give all that we are and all that we have to the cause of the gospel. Love the word, use the word, and spread the word. Now the Lord knows you. He knows your situation and he knows your heart. So love the Lord, trust him, pray to him, and be his people in this world. And then you will be his people in paradise too. Be God's people. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.